Using the out breath to relax and settle. Keeping a calm and stable mind as we consider these points. Consider how you are deceived by attachment. It appears to bring happiness. I want something, I do actions to get it. If I succeed, a temporary pleasant feeling arises, and I think I am happy. Then my mind thinks up another thing to get to make me feel good. Soon I run around doing things and saying things to get this other thing that I want. Craving and attachment keep me very busy. Do I notice how exhausting I am? My mind is like a yo-yo, up, down, up, down. getting what I want, not getting what I want, getting the next thing. Do I really think that this is life? That I'm fine? I'm okay? This is the way peace is? This is what real happiness is? If I really look, I seem to think that craving causes happiness. Yet when craving arises, I can see that my mind is not peaceful. Those things never satisfy me. I must understand deeply, at the most visceral level, that following my attachment causes unhappiness. fact, it creates more suffering than the temporary happiness it provides. I need to see that the joy or the happiness or the peace that I'm looking for is not in the external thing. I am not giving up sense objects or rejecting the world. I'm just seeing things for how they really are. Temporary, impermanent, and not the source of lasting happiness. those things are not the source of my happiness. My happiness lies within me. It is the nature of who I truly am. We are like the sky with the clouds removed. Remembering this, we are untouched when things appear inherently pleasant. We can see their true nature. Developing this peace of mind can keep us from being pulled or pushed constantly by pleasant, unpleasant feelings. So the next time we meet someone or something that looks very, very attractive, we can keep this peaceful state of mind without needing to crave or attach to it. And then when the pleasant feeling is done, we just let it go. Because we know that's its nature, and we don't need it to be happy.
Can I show you after class? I'll get one out.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll show you. It's kind of a funny looking thing.
And the other thing.
return to the breath. So anger or hostility can arise toward people, objects, or our own suffering. It arises due to exaggerating the negative qualities of a person, object, or situation, or by superimposing negative qualities that aren't there. Anger then wants to harm the source of our unhappiness. Looking at some of the disadvantages of anger. When my mind is poisoned by anger, I cannot experience peace. Anger just does not feel good. Existing happiness and joy are destroyed by anger and then difficult to regain. Mental stability arising from equanimity is also destroyed. Anger robs us of sleep and harms our health. a stressed and unhappy mind is one of the conditions for anger to easily arise. So having a balanced mind of equanimity is important for keeping anger from arising. So patience is the ability to remain undisturbed in the face of harm or suffering. Being patient doesn't mean being passive. It means having a calm mind so you can decide whether to act or not act. Sometimes we get angry at people for criticizing us. But there's no reason to get angry because if the other person that they said is true, it's like they're telling you that you have a nose on your face. You simply acknowledge your mistake. And if what they said is false, then why get angry? It's like they're saying you have horns. Think of a situation that recently made you angry. And ask yourself, can I do something about it? you can, anger is out of place. If you can't, anger is useless, because nothing can be done. Or you can try to remember the kindness of the disagreeable person. He or she points out our mistakes. Now we can correct and improve them. Or we can develop our positive qualities, patience, love and kindness. They are our supreme teacher. Or if it is this person's nature to be angry, why would you get angry at them? It's like being angry at fire for burning. If it isn't this person's nature, then anger is out of place. Or it would be like getting angry at the sky for having clouds in it. So you can recognize that it's this other person's unhappiness or confusion that makes them harm you. And since you know what it's like to be unhappy, you can develop compassion for the other person. Something else we consider is if this person has actually harmed us. If who we are is our internal Buddha nature, then how can that be harmed by words or blows or not giving us what we want or taking something that we have? The intrinsic nature of our mind is still clear light, completely pure and unstained. Since this person did not really harm me, there is no basis for my anger. The only thing that can really harm me is my own anger. and then remember that they're thinking about how others harm me in these ways that promote patience, we can decrease the habit of getting angry at others. It's less and less. I haven't heard lightning. In the merits of these virtuous actions, may I quickly attain the state of Guru Buddha and lead all living beings without exception into that enlightened state. May the supreme jewel Bodhicitta that has now arisen, arise and grow. And may that which has arisen not diminish, but increase more and more.
May all the living things here.
I want to say something. I should have said at the beginning, sorry. So what we're doing is we're gathering all the positive potential that we've created by spending our whole day contemplating how to create peace in our minds and in the world. And so it's that potential that we're dedicating. And just so you know, it's not like Jeffrey Hopkins says, if you have $100 when you dedicate, it's not like 50 goes here and 50 goes there, or 20 here, 20 here, 20 here, 20 like that. It's that this cause gets all 100, this cause gets all 100, this cause gets all 100. So just so you know that the extensive dedications, our spiritual director can spend long time on dedications for lots of different things. So, peace in the world and, relief of suffering for lots of different groups, all this compassion that you want to dedicate for as much as you can. And that energy, that potential that you've created then doesn't get lost through anger. A moment of anger can destroy a lot of positive potential in our minds. It just creates a really negative situation. So we want to sort of protect this positive energy that we've created. And by dedicating this way, it doesn't run out until the things we have dedicated for happen. So it lasts, a really long time. So that's why we always say about until I reach enlightenment, until all sentient beings are freed from suffering. So that's sort of just why you want it to be vast and big and why you don't want to forget to dedicate it. That's an important part. Okay. Now. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by the virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, may evil or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled, with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored and find new repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those who weep with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill
quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be free. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other.
For as long as space remains, as long as sentient beings remain, so shall I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world.
And then any other personal dedications you want to add silently?